Welcome back to the DBM Academy Strategy Call, folks. In part one each week, we look at the big picture in macroeconomics and global politics and their influence on our digital business decisions. Life is nothing if not interesting at the moment. If your portfolio is looking a little red this week, you're definitely not alone. We are staring at a market landscape that feels eerily similar to the 2022 so-called energy shock.
That's right, and for the first time in a while, it feels like there's truly nowhere to hide. Stocks, bonds, and even gold, which is usually our go-to hedge, all got hammered this week. It's a classic, terrifying triple sell-off that screams stagflationary panic.
Exactly, and to top it off, we just watched U.S. stock markets close out their fifth consecutive weeks of declines. You have to go back nearly 4 years to find a losing streak this long. The S&P 500, the Dow, the Nasdaq, they're all taking it on the chin. And the bond market? The 30-year Treasury yield actually touched 5% this week, the highest levels we've seen since 2008.
It's brutal. But while the legacy world is panicking, some say resetting, the crypto space is making some wild game-changing moves. The biggest headline? Fannie Mae is officially entering the digital asset fold. They are moving to accept Bitcoin as collateral for home loans.
Wow, that sounds like science fiction to those of us who have been in digital assets for the last decade, but it's finally real. Better Home & Finance and Coinbase also just announced a massive partnership to bring token-backed mortgages to millions of Americans. We're talking about an accessible pathway for the 52 million Americans who own digital assets to use their Bitcoin or USDC as collateral for a down payment, without having to sell and trigger a taxable event.
And the best part for the borrowers? No margin calls. Even if the price of BTC drops, the mortgage terms hold steady. It's a huge integration of digital assets into the plumbing of the U.S. housing system. Of course, those in DBM who prefer sovereignty are watching closely as the legacy system devises more ways to extract Bitcoin from the masses. Either way, it's all positive for demand.
Meanwhile, in the stablecoin world, Tether is finally doing what the market has been looking for. They've officially hired KPMG to perform a full, comprehensive financial statement audit of USDT, with PwC coming in to help them overhaul their internal systems. This is clearly a play to prepare for major fundraising and massive expansion under the new US stablecoin regulations.
It's a massive maturity signal. Speaking of the digital dollar, the Federal Reserve finally clarified their stance this week. They confirmed they have no plans to issue a CBDC. Instead, they're signaling support for stablecoins and tokenized bank deposits as the primary digital alternatives to the dollar. It seems the Fed is happy to let the private sector handle the innovation here. It also shows how the U.S., as it adjusts to a multipolar world, is setting the scene to ensure the dollar intertwines itself with stablecoins in demand from a global consumer market. We are watching closely as this, of course, also influences all fiat currencies pegged to the dollar, despite this global reset.
It's a lot to digest, but we have to talk about the backdrop to all of this, the Iran war. Our listeners keep asking about the deeper narrative, and we keep pointing them to Simon Dixon's latest analysis.
Right, and his take is intense. He's arguing that we need to stop looking at this purely as a country versus country war. Instead, he's framing it as a struggle between competing global power structures. He's calling it a conflict between the financial industrial complex and the military industrial complex.
Exactly. He thinks this is about a global financial reset. He's suggesting that transnational capital networks are using the current geopolitical tensions to forcefully reset the relations between the financial powerhouses and the military-industrial apparatus. It's not just a war, it's an architecture of power conflict that will dictate the next global monetary system.
It's an amazing time to have this awareness, guys. A total sell-off in legacy markets, but a massive structural leap for Bitcoin and the blockchain economy.
Stay tuned, stay above the canopy, and keep your eyes on the long-term trends. Most of all, keep stacking hard money and finding ways to accelerate your incomes and cash flows.
Now, let's pull the thread on how geopolitics is attempting to control the narrative toward a multipolar world. A little further. The idea that we're living through the death of the proof of weapons network and are entering the birth of a new global system.
Right. Bixson argues that the current global monetary system, the one we've lived in since Bretton Woods, was a proof of weapons network. In his view, the value of the US dollar and the stability of the financial system weren't backed by gold or even just faith, but by the ability of the military-industrial complex, MIC, to create proxy wars and force trade routes and energy flows.
And his take on the Iran conflict is that it's actually an internal power struggle between that old military-industrial complex and the emerging financial-industrial complex. Think massive asset managers like BlackRock, JP Morgan, and sovereign wealth funds from the Gulf and China.
Exactly. Bixson points to the Strait of Hormuz as the nuclear bomb of this financial reset. He's arguing that the theater we're seeing in the Middle East is being used to trigger force majeure clauses on roughly 50 critical energy and resource agreements globally all at once.
That's the reset part. By creating a crisis that breaks the old contracts, these transnational interests, the financial industrial complex, can renegotiate the terms of global trade and energy. He's essentially saying the MIC, military, wants forever wars to justify debt expansion and weapon contracts. The FIC, financial, wants a clean balance sheet where they own the assets, tokenized real-world assets, and the military simply protects their private interests rather than national ones.
It sounds like a corporate takeover of geopolitics. Of course, the big insight for us is that Bitcoin is the escape hatch from both. The argument is that while these two complexes fight to see who controls the next digital dollar or CBDC, Bitcoin represents at least a chance to shift to immutable proof of work and self-sovereignty.
Right. In a proof of work world, you don't need a military to enforce the value of your currency. You just need math and energy. He even mentioned that Dubai's quiet rotation from gold into Bitcoin is a signal that smart money is already positioning for a world where the military-backed petrodollar is no longer the primary pillar of power.
It's a wild framework. The Iran war isn't about Iran or Israel. It's a boardroom battle with live ammunition, where the prize is the right to design the next 100 years of the global financial architecture.
Absolutely. And before we go, let's take a deeper look behind the scenes at the rotation of Gulf sovereign wealth funds. Their move into Bitcoin is no longer just a theory. This year, it became a documented shift in global capital. These funds, which manage trillions in oil-derived wealth, are moving from a wait-and-see approach to active, large-scale accumulation.
That's right. Here's how we've seen the rotation is playing out across the major Gulf players.
The UAE pivot from indirect to direct exposure to Bitcoin and related products. The United Arab Emirates has led the charge, transitioning from supporting the ecosystem to putting skin in the game. Mubadala's ETF play. Abu Dhabi's Mubadala Investment Company, with over $300 billion AUM, made a waves by disclosing a major stake in BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF, IBIT. By early 2025, they held over 8.7 million shares, making Bitcoin one of the fund's largest non-semiconductor holdings. ADQ and Mining, another Abu Dhabi fund, ADQ, partnered with Marathon Digital to build massive immersion cooling mining operations. This allows them to mine Bitcoin using their surplus energy, essentially converting stranded gas into a digital reserve asset. Meanwhile, in Saudi Arabia, the sovereign AI pivot. Under its Vision 2030 recalibration, the Public Investment Fund, PIF, is shifting towards strategic autonomy.
Bitcoin as digital energy. The PIF is increasingly viewing Bitcoin as a way to subsidize their massive AI and data center buildouts. Since AI and Bitcoin mining share the same power infrastructure, the PIF is using Bitcoin to monetize electricity while their AI projects scale up.
Exactly. It's all leading to a recalibration. Saudi Aramco reduced its dividends in 2025. The PIF has been forced to become more returns-driven. Bitcoin's lack of correlation with traditional markets makes it an ideal ballast for a fund trying to diversify away from a purely oil-based economy.
And then there's the Qatar play, the silent giant. While the QIA has been more tight-lipped, rumors of a multi-billion-dollar Bitcoin allocation have persisted into 2026. Although the QIA CEO previously stated they were waiting for the asset to mature, the 2025 U.S. regulatory shift, specifically the Genius Act, provided the legal green light Qatar needed to begin moving.
Yes. And with tensions in the Strait of Hormuz threatening physical trade, the QIA is reportedly looking at Bitcoin as a way to maintain liquid global value that cannot be blocked by a naval or financial blockade.
So why are the world's sovereign wealth funds rotating now? It seems there are three primary drivers for this Gulf rotation. The weaponization of the dollar. After seeing the West freeze Russia's reserves, Gulf nations realized that money in a bank is a liability. Bitcoin is the only asset that allows them to hold billions in value without a kill switch controlled by a foreign power. On top of this is the energy standard. These nations are the world's energy titans. Bitcoin allows them to export digital energy across borders instantly, bypassing the physical limitations of oil tankers and pipelines. Last is the yield gap. With 30-year treasuries hitting 5% and inflation remaining sticky, traditional bonds are no longer safe.
The Gulf funds are rotating out of devaluing debt and into hard digital equity. The key insight is that the Gulf is moving from being the world's gas station to being the world's decentralized bank. They are trading their finite oil for an infinitely divisible, mathematically scarce digital asset. It's a global shift from a monetary system based on the petrodollar to a multipolar system based on math.
Fascinating, and a chance for individuals to own a piece of this transition.
That's right. We continue to watch with interest, while all the while ensuring we own more Bitcoin next month than this month. A great way to do this is to assign a portion of your digital business to yield and equity from lower-level activities in sectors being directly built on blockchain technologies. We discussed this aspect of our digital businesses in part 2 of the DBM strategy call. See the show notes for access, and see you next time.